Good to see you. We had to run around looking for mics here, I'm sorry. But we're ready to go. And it's good to see you this morning. We've got some folks that are not here that are sick. Miss Patty is not able to come. She's got the flu. So y'all pray for her. So I made a note up here. There's a lot of people sick, and it's not just in here, but it's all over the church. And I guess the flu is the biggest culprit. So just a bad time of the year for that. First thing today is we've got condolences in the bulletin for Christine Kleinbell, whose father, Freddie Eagleson, passed on February the 8th. Now, I don't know this person, but let's keep them in prayer, okay? So, also, we're still praying for Pat Shaw. She's going to have cataract surgery here in March and in April, so we're praying for her. Pat's been very sick for a long time now, and lots of things that she's had to go through, so just keep her and Brother Joe in your prayers. And also, was talking with Miss Larkey this morning. She says that she heard that preacher is sitting up, said he's able to pray and talk and everything, so praise the Lord. We just thank the Lord for that. And, you know, sometimes people get medicated and things happen. They get to where they can't do this, can't do that. Maybe, you know, we don't want to be a doctor here, but maybe something like that did happen. Just glad to hear that he's doing better that way. And Miss Lashley, we're still praying for her and for all the children as they make these decisions that they'll have to be making. You know, we get to a point in life, and sometimes we have to let our kids do the thinking and the planning and all of that. So keep them in your prayers. Harold Baskett, Brother Darren, said this morning that he talked with him, and he's doing better. And said he's not driving yet, but he's almost ready to drive. And his date has been moved up. He's going to get some treatment here, not this coming Monday, but the next Monday. So we're praying that that treatment will work for Brother Harold. I guess I would ask at this time, is anybody got an unspoken request? Anybody? Okay. And Brother Rick up here in the sound booth has got an unspoken also. So remember these. And then just want to ask y'all to remember my wife, Shirley. We had to spend the night, Monday night, in the emergency room. She passed out, and she's wearing a heart monitor today, so hopefully that things will be okay. Just ask the Lord, if you would, to be with her. In the way of announcements, we got outdoor night that's coming up on March the 1st with the Shears. And that's an exciting thing. If you've not been to that before, you would enjoy it because of their testimony. And so they have a wonderful testimony. They love the Lord. And I know a lot of people don't do the outdoors, but it's just interesting. We have a good time, have some snacks to eat and things like that. So be remembering that. And then the ladies' Bible study is going to start up on March the 6th on Thursday, and at 10 a.m. in the home builders class in the Family Life Center. and at 7 p.m. in the evening over here at the ministry house. So all of that's on March the 6th. So that's about what I've got. So let's go ahead. Brother Philip says he's ready, and we'll pray. And by the way, C.L. Butler has missed two Sundays here, and let's remember him. He's got to be sick. He's not one to miss normally. So let's remember C.L., okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day and for your goodness to us, Lord, just every day, all the time, Lord. And your mercy gives it to us, Lord. We don't deserve it, but God, your mercy, you give it to us, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we do have a lot of people that's sick. And Father, I do pray for CL, and pray that you'll be with him, be with Harold Baskett. And Lord, we pray for preacher Ms. Lasley, and Lord, others that are on this list that we have in front of us this morning. We're not going to call them each one out by name, but God, you know it. And Father, you knew it before we even put their names on there. So Father, I pray that you'll bless them and that you'll be with them and comfort them, Lord, and help them to get back to health. And then, Father, we pray this day, God, for Brother Philip as he comes. I know he studied hard, and I pray that you'll just be with him as he gives us what you gave him. And for the morning service, we pray that you'll be with our pastor, and God, just lift him up. And Lord, we're praying today for a special something to happen here in our auditorium, Lord, something that's going to glorify you, God. And God, we just thank you for blessing us so much, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Did you guys think we were done with Revelation chapter 3? My wife and I were talking this week, and I don't know how we got around to it. And she said, I thought you were done with Revelation. And I said, why did you think that? She said, because you said, I want to finish this today. I was talking about gold, but I am going to finish this today. And for some reason, I feel like we need to move on. So there's a lot that we could talk about in these things. Behold, I stand, excuse me, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. And we could talk about being tried in the fire and the distinction between that and being chastened. There's incredible distinctions between those two, the trying of our faith and the whipping of us for being bad. There's so much to see about clothing and the God that clothes us all and that is clothed, by the way, our great God we never view as naked, amen. He's a God that covers himself, and our Savior as well in that Mount of Transfiguration is covered in glistening garments. So much to see there, white raiment. We could track it all the way from Adam and Eve to our white raiment in the New Jerusalem. But we'll pass over all that. We could also talk about anointing our eyes with eye salve. And maybe at another time, in another way, we'll look at that. But we're going to pass over all of this. And also verse 19, we'll talk about that in our next series. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But I'd like to talk. What I'd like to do today is put a period. Isn't it amazing that we've been together over 6 months now? And we've probably spent most of that in Revelation 3, verses 17 to this one. And it's amazing everything that we can see in the scriptures. And I find it hard to imagine that we've been together that long, but it's been a blessing to me. And I would have never known you if I haven't had this opportunity, amen? You and I have gotten to shake hands, and I know your names, and I pray for you. And that's been a great blessing. You know, the only way to really, in a church this size, to get to know people is to be in a group like this, amen, and to shake hands and to say, how do you do? And I love what Danny does. It's not a waste of my time because I pray for you. You got, every one of you is on my list, and I pray for you. But as he talks about things, then I know more better how to pray for you, amen? I didn't realize Shirley was going through all those things, so now when I pray for her, I can mention those things as well. It's an important time. But what I'd like to do tonight is put a period on this sentence, a period on our studies of Revelation chapter 3. And it really has not even been Revelation chapter 3. It's been this church and the principles surrounding this church, all the way back to when we talked about being spewed out of his mouth. So many wonderful things to see. But I'm going to end this with verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. If you've been saved any time at all, in another 2 years, it'll be 50 years for me, you've heard messages on that passage right there, haven't you? You've probably read tracts. John R. Rice had a tract, and on the face of that tract, we had a tract rack in our church, and we had this, and it had a picture, you know, an old old-timey back in Israel days, with a man leaning into a door, getting ready to knock. It was a wonderful picture. It was an illustration of this, and most of what you've heard is salvation messages based on this. Correct? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, knocking on the door of sinners' hearts. It's a great message. And them opening the door, them hearing the knock, conviction, them hearing the voice being called, and them opening the door of their heart, salvation. All of those things are wonderful themes that work well with the illustration here. But folks, that's application. That's not what this verse says, correct? There are no lost people in this verse. Now, for us to take it and use it is legitimate if we're not doing violence to the text. Now, you and I both know there are three things that we're to observe in reading any text, correct? Proper understanding of the Bible involves observation. What does the text say? Just the bare bones of it. You have to observe where it is, its context. And so our observation of this verse is that not lost people, he's talking to church people, amen? And I think this period to this two chapters refers to all seven churches, not just to the church of Laodicea. He's saying, behold, all the churches, behold, I stand at the door and knock of the church. So what we see here is saved people, not lost people. So that's our observation. The next thing we want to understand about Scripture is its interpretation, correct? So what we observe is just the plain facts of the text itself. Its interpretation is our discernment of what the text is trying to teach us. Under this heading of interpretation, and this, by the way, is the difficult part. Everybody can see the text and say, okay, this is what it says. But to understand what God's trying to teach us from it, well, that's a whole discipline and involves a couple of principles under this head. And one of them is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's truth is must be properly put into its particular places, and we must observe that division that God has made in his word. Another principle is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing what? Scripture with Scripture. Now, this is what Paul does in those two very doctrinal books he wrote, Hebrews and Romans, and he is doing what constantly, repeatedly? He is making reference to Old Testament passages and truth to give evidence and light and understanding of New Testament principles. We are comparing spiritual with spiritual. I think you have been with me long enough to know that that's about all I do. And that's what I try to do. I try to bring forth biblical examples to give evidence and proof and substantiate what I'm saying. So that's a very difficult part. And then we have application. Us taking the scriptures and applying them to different areas of our life. So that's what somebody did with this. That's what John R. Rice did with this in his tract about the appeal to the lost that God is knocking on the heart. That's application, folks. That's not interpretation. That's not what these passages are referring to. And that's not what we observe in these passages, correct? Now, that can be very legitimate. And we must all be very careful of how we apply, all of us who are ministers, how we apply the scriptures. We can either give light or bring darkness about it. And I've seen preachers that make incredible applications of scriptures, and it works, and we're blessed, and we're encouraged, and we get light. But I've also seen where it's like, that isn't even close to what we should be saying from that text. It's like, this is wrong. Let me give you an illustration of that, by the way, how this can be abused. If you would, turn to Matthew 24 and verse number 17. Of course, I have read about preaching and Bible exposition and the delivery of all this stuff. And in one of those books that I read, it talked about a man, a minister, way back in, I think, and I'm sorry, I've read so much stuff for the last 50 years, I wish I could just find that book and say, hey, this is where I read it. I can't. But I remember reading this, and women's hairstyles change all the time, do they not? And back in his day, women were beginning to want to put their hair up. We call it a bun. They called it a top knot. Well, he thought that was just awful. And he was going to inveigh on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night on the horrors of women putting their hair ups in buns. Can you imagine? Yeah, it happens. Amen. But he didn't have a text. How do you preach on that? Amen? Where are you going to get a text? I'll tell you what he did. Notice this. Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. It's talking about when Jesus Christ comes again, correct? That's the context here. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Okay, so we know what this is all about. This was his text. Do you know what he did? Look at that verse again. Let him which is on the housetop not come down. That is an abomination. That is wrong. That is so abusing the scriptures. And we laugh because who would do such a thing? But preachers do that. And it is a violation of their trust as ministers. And really what he had become at that point was a lord over God's heritage, and that he was going to take whatever he could find in the scripture and beat his people up with it. It's wrong. We're not to do that. Amen? That is a misuse of scripture, and how sad. Anyway, but application. But what do we see here? Something very important, by the way, because God is ending this series of talks to all these churches. He's finished up here with Laodicea, and then he steps back and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So the door is, and we see that door also in Judges, by the way. It says, "Behold, the judge standeth at the door." Our God stands at the door to the church, to our hearts, and he's knocking. And what we need to understand is what should be the character of those on the other side of that door. Now, we've already seen in the verse before is that they're to be buying gold, that they're to be getting raiment, that they're to be putting eye salve on, getting their eyes healed so that they can see the truth. But this isn't the first time that God, our Savior, gave this illustration. Let's go to the other one and see if we can get some understanding of this. Look at Luke chapter 12, if you would. And he's talking about in this, and I'm not going to read all the way from verse 1 all the way down, but you can read it to get the context. He's talking about his second coming. He's giving them instructions and warnings. And we'll pick it up in verse 34. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh." So there we have it again, right? A biblical illustration of what he's talking about in Revelation chapter 3. "That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Now this is very important to us. This should be the character of our Christian life from the minute we get saved. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them." Isn't that amazing? Now over in Revelation, we see also a dinner. But we see there he comes in and sups with them and they with him. But here for servants who are waiting for their Lord, he will, we have a dinner again, but he's going to serve them. But the character of those servants, so we see the door, we see the knocking. On the other side of that door, those people are supposed to do what? "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately." Now we need to let that sink in a little bit, don't we? Are you and I living our lives with that kind of anticipation of our Lord's return? I don't know when he's coming. He says it in the passage. We don't know, but we're to live as if it might happen at any time. So we're supposed to be appropriately dressed. We see that in Revelation chapter 3. "Buy of me fine linen that thy nakedness mayeth be clothed." And here we see our loins girt about. We're ready to go. Our light in our hand, living in the light, and we're ready to open the door immediately. Are we ready? Have we put that light under the bushel or under the bed? Are we living in the light? Are we truly fully clothed and ready to go? You know, the Bible talks about that when he comes, we might not be ashamed at his coming. Have you ever thought about that? Would we be ashamed when he comes? We will be if we're not appropriately clothed and if we're not living in the light, amen? And if we're not ready for that coming. Now, this isn't the only time we've seen this. If you would turn back to Exodus in chapter 12. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know that Exodus chapter 12 is the Passover passage, correct? No mystery there. This is where they are told how to keep the Passover, what to do on the Passover. And in verse 7, thou shalt take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein thou shalt eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it. Here it is. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it with haste. Why? Do you remember why? Can you imagine eating a meal like this? So they splash that blood on the doorpost. They're waiting for that angel to pass through the land of Egypt. And when he does, everywhere he does not see the blood, correct? And by the way, who's the blood for? It's for God. When I see the blood, it is what appeases his wrath. Folks, you and I, my only plea for my sin is the blood of Christ. Period. When he sees the blood, that's all I want him to see, amen? When he sees the blood, he will pass over. And that's what it means to be saved, correct? We came under the blood, and the death angel will pass over us. Praise God. But we see the sacrifice, and what we're seeing there is the sacrifice of Christ, correct? The Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. And we're seeing the application of that blood to individual sinners by the application on the door. But inside there, inside that door, so we have the door again, we have the blood on the door, and we have the death angel on the other side of the door. But inside that door, we see people doing what? Eating the lamb. They are keeping the feast of the Passover. And the character of these people is that they, think of it now, they're standing. I guess like this, their staff in their hand, their clothes on, and they're eating it in haste. Because what's getting ready to happen? That very night, what's going to happen? They're going to get out of Egypt. They're leaving that night. Now, that's the character of these people who are feeding upon Christ. Now, folks, this is very important for you and me because it has real application to us. Because you and I are keeping the feast, are we not? Folks, this is John 6. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, sin, neither with the unleavened, with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What is this feast? Folks, ever since the blood was applied, what have we been doing? What is it all about? It's what we see in John 6. He said, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood is of me. Now, that's spiritual, of course. They had a hard time with that bold statement, but he went on to say, not as your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, not with your mouth. That's not how you're going to eat me. You're going to eat me by faith. Not as your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but it is very true. This is the feast. You and I are supposed to be feasting on Christ every day of our lives. Our sacrifice. It is his life that gives us life. Amen? When we go to the scriptures, we want to do what Jesus did to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He opened their understanding, and from Moses and the prophets, he said he told them of the things that concerned him. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened our understanding, by the way. That's the feast, folks, feeding on Christ, learning more about him. But we're to do it with this idea that we're leaving this wicked place, this Egypt, amen, this place, this wicked world. I'm sick of it, aren't you? I'm ready to go. Not because I've gotten old and I'm all achy. No, I was ready to leave it 50 years ago. I wish the Lord just taken me out of this place. Because of sin and the struggle of it, the shame of it, the constant plague of it in our lives, God wants us out of this place, does he not? He does. And you and I need to be living on the other side of that door, that when he comes and knocks, we can open immediately, and that we are clothed and living in the light and ready to go. God help us, everyone. Now, next week, I would like to start, and I'm going to finish early today, which is strange for me, but that's okay. That'll give us more time to fellowship. I would like to teach the book of James, if that's okay with you. I've been studying, and the more I study, it's like this is too much for me. It's a big book, and it's got lots of things in it, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 5. But by the grace of God, we're going to study James, and we'll start off next week in James 1. And so, God bless you. Thank you so much for staying with me in Revelation chapter 3. I hope it's been a blessing to you, and it certainly has been a blessing for me to share it with you. And we'll let the Lord lead us as we go forward. God bless you. Father, thank you for these people. I know it's a short lesson today, but I wanted to say one last word about this wonderful passage. Lord, I pray that you'll help each and every one of us to be ready immediately to open the door when we hear the knock. And you're coming again one day, we know. God, help us to be living like it's true. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.